Welcome back to the Villain Edit. I am Monty Ashley.
I'm Ryus Hall.
How you doing, Ryus?
I'm doing pretty well. For once, it's not too hot on this end of the couch.
Oh, it's really hot on this end of the couch, because that's where I am. Bam!
Wow.
I feel bad about saying bam. That's Emerald's thing. I don't want people to... I did not mean to imply that I thought the epitome of hotness was Emerald Lagasse.
He does like some spicy food, though.
He's been known to notch things up a notch. Damn it, I got that wrong.
So, let's talk about some TV shows.
What's happening is it's the end of summer, and we're getting towards the beginning of fall. So, the shows that we watch during the summer break are coming to an end. So, I'm going to start with the finale of The Great Food Truck Race.
I think great is a little...
What?
A little much for describing this food show. I think.
Tell me about the food truck races you have seen that were better.
Look, I don't have to have seen a lot of food truck races to know that this one's not a great one.
Yeah. Well, certainly other seasons were better. This one started in L.A., went to, Reno, and then ended up back in L.A. I think it was Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Yuma, Coachella, where they were at a country music festival, and then back to L.A.
You know what this show needs?
Ooh, what?
Kind of a Cannonball Run thing. They should actually be racing for something.
Yeah.
Whoever gets from one coast to the other and sells the most food on the way wins.
Yeah, that would be fun. I remember one of the finales was go to this town, sell $500 worth of food, and then pack up and leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever we see them driving on the freeway, they're all in a line, and it goes chase car, truck, and they're all driving very sensibly.
Yes.
Not racing enough. In the final episode, they were down to two teams. And in my opinion, the rhythms of the show broke down completely.
Oh, they never had it.
Because at least in the middle of the season, there's four or five teams you can cut between them. But here here's this team, back to the other team, back to this team. And just, we're sick of we're sick of both teams by this point.
Yeah. One of the teams is just awful.
Which one?
Just Wing It. I hate them. They're complete bros and...
They're the team that won.
Yeah, but I don't like them.
Which was another problem with the finale. I felt they had a huge mini-challenge, which Just Wing It won and got $600 extra bucks. And then, based on how busy neither team seemed to be, they were going to win. And they did.
Ta-da!
So, is this show, I think this is a little discussion we should have at the close of every show. Is this show good? Can we recommend this show with a straight face?
No.
I agree.
This is a terrible show, and it's sad that you forced me to watch it.
Okay, so...
Okay, but I did tell you it was on, so...
Yeah.
Really,
You could not wait to say, hey, Monty, the Great Food Truck Race is about to start.
It is true. Maybe I wasn't as forced as I make it out to be.
But when it comes around again, do we keep watching it? I've watched, nine seasons of it. I know
all
of it.
Well, we watched the first season, and we watched the first episode, and we go from there.
Yeah. I will say there is a new season of Ink Master that we are not watching now.
Oh, hell to the no.
Now, first of all, Ink Master is a show that is just about jerks shouting at each other.
Uh-huh. And this season...
It's
grudge jerks. Match. It's a grudge match between the two shoutiest jerks.
It's Christian and Clean Rock One, who's have a epic dislike of each other across several seasons. But jokes on them... I dislike both of them across those seasons as well.
So, yeah. Sorry, guys. We will not be watching your show.
If Ink Master Angels comes back, we'll jump back on that, probably.
Oh, yeah.
But Ink Master itself is happening now, and that is not our problem.
Thumbs down. What other shows are coming back?
Well, a show that just ended that I want to talk about, Making It.
I enjoyed making it, but I felt like it was too friendly.
They were very, very nice, and I like nice shows, but...
I knew.
They were... Because people were working in such different media, it didn't really feel like they were even in competition with each other.
Right. There's going to be one guy that's super good at building things out of felt, and that's what he's going to do. He's not competing with other people who build things out of felt.
Yeah. I did like the reveal at the finale where they had to make backdrops for a wedding, because that's a thing that happens, is people have a custom-made arch.
Sure, I've got some friends that are going to have a wedding. I'm going to be their backdrop.
You're just going to stand back there?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get a caftan and hold my arms straight out at my sides like Sun Ra.
How about, like, Manos Hands of Fate with the two big red hands?
Yeah, we could put a ring on one of the hands.
Oh, adorable.
Perfect.
What making it did was everybody made their stuff, and then when the doors to the barn opened, they got to see whose arch had been chosen. I thought that was kind of fun.
That was a fun way to end the series.
Because I'm increasingly tired of reveals that consist of people pausing in the middle of sentences for the length of three commercial breaks.
Oh, man, even the Great British Baking Show.
It is my sad duty, long pause while we see everybody, to announce, this was, all right, everybody ready? We open the door, and there's a visual, it hits you, and you can see
And you can figure it out, because you know who was working on that arch that won.
As it happened, it was the guy, Kiem, who was really good at woodworking, and I thought he should have won. He was very good.
Everything he made was gorgeous and good.
I did feel that one thing making it did that I didn't like was they leaned really heavily on how much you've grown during this season.
Yeah, they've been there for what, four weeks or so, filming this show every day? Like, that's not a lot of room. I don't care for the personal growth storyline in shows very much.
Yeah. In this case, they looked at this guy in the eyes and said, when you came here, you were a shell with no turtle inside. That is so...
condescending.
The guy has a soul. It's not like he was wandering around an empty husk, and then because he went on a crafting reality show, he found out who he really was.
But the first art project he did was a turtle shell with no turtle in it. So they were just doing a callback to that. I don't think they really meant he was an empty shell of a man.
I'm overstating a little, but you know how these shows always like to claim
they always do that.
You've really improved as a whatever. And like, Hell's Kitchen is the worst at that, because people improve from being terrible to still being terrible.
Do you think Hell's Kitchen is worse at that than America's Top Model, where Tyra is constantly... she's not even on the show anymore. But the seasons I watched were very much about Tyra flapping in at the end of the episode to tell everyone that they had to have experienced personal growth.
No, you are 100% correct.
It was the worst.
America's Next Top Model is all about Tyra claiming to have found these raw, unformed people, and then through her magical vision given them guidance, and now you're a perfect being.
Yeah, that was the whole premise of that show.
Having said all that, I still liked making it, and my real main complaint...
I liked it too.
I would have liked more season. That seemed like
it. It was a super short season. It was one of those little filler seasons that they do.
Yep.
Hopefully it'll get a longer season, but traditionally shows about crafting, people don't like them.
No, traditionally they don't have Nick Offerman and Amy Poehler around the house.
Maybe. So, I don't know. Craft Corner Deathmatch. Well, it was a great show.
It was a great show. Making it is not Craft Corner Deathmatch, but is this show...
not any kind of deathmatch.
Good? Is it worth watching?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I totally recommend making it.
Yeah, I think it's a fun show. And as a person who makes crafts, it's always fun for me to see what other people do. And often to complain because they're not doing what I think they should be doing.
Basically, you will watch any show in which people burn themselves on hot glue occasionally.
I have great sympathy for crafter for that. That hot glue is crafter's napalm.
All right. So those are the two shows that just ended. And that means we're kind of between shows. Forge and Fire is still happening, but there's only so much we can say about it.
They're still forging things, and things are still in fire.
It's great to see Doug Marqueta back in the game.
Yeah, he stabbed some stuff real good this week.
Yep, this was the week where they made stuff out of whiskey barrels.
Oh, yeah.
Like the metal bands they had to somehow...
I think those are called barrel stays.
Stays? Okay, I was gonna say that, but it sounded wrong, because I know staves are the wooden slats.
Oh, you're right. Maybe I'm wrong.
So
I just was assuming that they were called stays because of corset stays do pretty much the same thing.
You could be right.
Maybe.
So it's time to talk about what shows we're going to be watching in the future.
Where we will spend the rest of our lives?
Yes.
Yay!
I have here a great article from realityblurred.com, which is the fall 2018 reality TV schedule and guide. This lists everything. So mostly
Fasten your seatbelts, kids. It's going to be a bumpy night.
But before we get to that, breaking news. Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn are leaving Project Runway for an Amazon show that one suspects will be exactly like Project Runway with different judges.
Well, I hope that's true, because I really love Project Runway. And if they're...
What are you more interested in? Project Runway with a different Heidi and Tim... Or Heidi and Tim with a different show.
Heidi and Tim with a different show.
I think that's correct. Very few shows can survive such fundamental exits as that.
Right. Although, I mean...
I will say the new season that just hit Netflix of The Great British Bake Off, that we have been watching on a Canadian channel this whole time, so we saw no technical challenges until the last two episodes.
That's right. The Canadian channels are showing edited versions, so you only get to see the first and third challenge.
Yeah.
And so you never know how anybody did in the technical, and it's just, well, okay.
There's just a whole bunch more commercials and no technical challenge. It's weird. But that one, they of course replaced Mary Berry and also Sue and Mel. And it was still quite watchable, turns out.
Oh, yeah, Noel Fielding's an amusing guy.
Yeah, I like Sandy Toksvig. I remember her from the British Whose Line Is It Anyway? A million years ago.
I have never heard of her before now, but she seems perfectly charming.
Yeah. All right, now let's get into this. These guys have practically all the reality shows that could possibly... Like, they have the... air date for My Cat from Hell.
Ooh, I like My Cat from Hell.
Wolves and Warriors, that follows a U.S. Navy veteran and a doctor at a private sanctuary that rescues wolves and wolf-dog hybrids. Sounds pretty cute.
Oh, I think I've been to that sanctuary. There's one of those in Seattle, near Seattle, called Wolf Haven.
I like the name of Twisted Sisters. But when I tell you it's on Investigation Discovery...
Yeah, you know exactly what it's like. It's crimes committed by sisters. I'm not even sure that counts as a reality show. I count the true crime shows as something else.
Yeah, it's a recreation show, which...
Ugh, they're the worst.
How many of those do you watch?
50 or 60.
You were telling me about a Sex Sent Me to the ER episode.
That was not entirely a recreation episode. I mean, the fake sex scenes are, and there are recreators in it, but the people who actually were sent to the ER by sex were telling their own stories, and they had the actual doctor on that episode. Sometimes they have the actual doctors. It's not entirely reenacted.
I'm a little skeptical about this particular one because it involved a guy's secret defibrillator.
It wasn't a secret.
All right, you describe it.
All right, I will try to keep this PG rated. So they were having sex.
Where?
One of those mechanical bulls like you get in rodeo bars. The bar was closed.
So. And the bull was on?
Yes.
Okay.
And this was the first time they had ever had sex. And the woman started to...
And that's where they thought people normally had sex. We're like, sex sounds great. How do you do it? Oh, mechanical bull.
It was the first time they had ever had sex with each other.
Okay, got it.
And so they decided mechanical bull on a slow speed would have a nice motion. So they climbed up there and onto each other, and the woman started feeling incredibly bad electric shocks in her private area. And the guy was just, like, freaking out like he was electrified. He was just, like, going stiff, but not in the way she wanted. So they fell off the bowl, or leapt, whichever. It turns out that he had had a heart problem, and so he had an electronic defibrillator implanted, but it had been calibrated wrong, and so if his heartbeat went up real high, it would electric shock him.
And what happened was his heartbeat went too high and it electric shocked him so bad that it also electric shocked her. Like, you know, when
she had burns inside of her lady parts.
Because, you know, they say clear, so nobody's touching the body that they're hitting the paddles on.
Well, they did not say clear on the bowl.
So that's...
And so she had some pretty unpleasant injuries, and as did he. And then they had to recalibrate his defibrillator.
But then they got to be on a terrible investigation discovery show.
Sex sent me to the ER. Yeah. Right. Well, usually when they get sent to the ER by sex, it's because they fell out of bed, or they fell out of a tree, or they fell off of something. So I was they totally had the bait and switch with them being on a mechanical bull. I'm like, oh, they're going to fall off that, and somebody's going to get hurt. But no, it was different.
Another show here on the Reality Blurred list. I love the name Model Squad.
Ooh, is it?
It follows 9 high-profile, in-demand supermodels in the make-or-break fashion industry.
Oh, they're not solving crimes? They're not much of a squad, then.
My problem here is, if they're really high-profile and in-demand, there's not that much drama, is there? They're just going from gig to gig.
Yeah.
Let's see. Shout out if any of these names jump out to you. Bake It Like Buddy. 2 extremely talented, passionate, and creative baking family duos face off against each other in a fun head-to-head bake-off at Carlo's Bakery.
I'm guessing that Bake It Like Buddy refers to Buddy Velasco.
Velastro. The cake boss.
Cake boss.
Yeah, but they clearly can't say cake boss because this is on a different channel. Also, the name, a reference to Bend It Like Beckham. Very timely.
Interesting. All right, so I'm not really into the competitive baking shows because there's way too, if you ask me my opinion, way too many of those puffed corn things with the marshmallows.
Yeah, what I would like is a supercut of these shows finding ways to say Rice Krispie treat without the phrase Rice Krispies.
Right, they're always like, oh, I will use this corn and marshmallow, this cereal and marshmallow, or I'll use the cereal bar, or I will use this. Yeah, there's constantly trying to come up with ways not to say Rice Krispies because they have to pay for that.
This one is on PBS. It's called The Great American Read. Reflections from everyday Americans, as well as figures in the entertainment, sports, news, and literary worlds. I know, stay awake. Culminating in the first national vote to choose America's best-loved novel. Now, it doesn't say this, but I'm assuming there are votes every week, and you have to say...
Oh, you mean like American Idol.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, The Great Gatsby, you have to go home. You are continuing through Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Well, here's the thing. I really like the idea that they're going to get a lot of people to read a lot of books at the same time.
Yeah.
I know that sometimes libraries will have, like, a month where everybody in the city reads the same book.
Right.
And that is, I love that. I would like to read those books. I don't think I want to watch a show about it.
The only reason I kind of want to watch it is because historically... National votes for best loved books have been won by either Lord of the Rings or Battlefield Earth.
Ooh, but this is, America's best loved novel. So it doesn't have to be an American novel.
Right. We could be really into the Canterbury Tales. Not a novel.
Man.
Don Quixote. We could be really into Don Quixote. We're not.
Well, let's see who... Oh, there's a lot of Scientologists out there, man. Wait, what was that flipping out?
What, Flipper Flop Atlanta?
No,
or flipping out. Jeff Lewis tries to take on fewer clients and flip properties more efficiently.
Thumbs down.
Pressures rise and tempers flare. Jeff leans on his partner, Gage Edwards, and executive assistant Jenny Poulos to help him keep it all together.
I'd rather watch a new season of Bajillion Dollar Properties.
I would love to watch a new season of Bajillion Dollar Properties. You know, they filmed a whole fourth season.
I know, where is it?
But CISO died underneath them, and they still have not managed to sell it to anybody.
Oh, come on, Hulu, get on that.
I love the name Snake City.
I've seen Snake City. It's pretty terrifying. It's this guy who's covered with tattoos and has a shaved head.
Simon Keyes.
And his girlfriend.
Susie Gillette, and Susie is spelled like Susie Sue.
Yeah, and she's got, like, bright pink hair. They live in Africa, and the kinds of snakes that they find are kind of snakes you don't want in your house. They're like, oh, a black mamba, let's catch him.
Yeah.
It's kind of a dumb show.
It's very samey. Like, I don't know why there are new episodes of it.
Right, I was watching this show called, like, Billy the Exterminator the other day, and it's exactly the same show, except Billy...
Yeah, I don't know where the sentence could possibly be going.
Billy looks like he should be in a hair metal band.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
He's got a big belt buckle with his name on it, which, hair metal band or cowboy.
Yeah.
He looks like he's a rock star, and he goes into people's house and kills wasps.
Take that, wasps.
That sounds pretty good, actually, now that I think of it that way. And he works for his family because, honestly, who else is going to hire this guy?
Yeah. Let's see. There's a show called Warriors of Liberty City, which sounds awesome and Streets of Fire-y.
But it's actually about a youth football program.
Yeah. Founded by Luther Uncle Luke Campbell. That's the guy from Two Live Crew.
Oh, is it?
That's Luke Skywalker, but I don't think he can call himself Luke Skywalker. Mm.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that he's helping the kids and has a youth football league. I'm not into youth or football, if anyone wants to know. What's this circus show?
Oh, blah, blah, blah. We'll hit the campaign trail for the midterm elections, which will not only determine control of Congress, but how the Trump presidency will play out. That is not a circus.
No, if there are not spangly leotards involved, I do not want to watch it.
There's something called Big Food Truck Tip, which is an Andrew Zimmern...
Oh, I like him.
...joint. He's going to go around the U.S. and talk to passionate food truck entrepreneurs.
So, okay, I like Andrew Zimmern. I'm okay with food trucks.
It's not a super exciting show, but...
No, but I could see him playing the superhero guy from Cannonball Run.
Captain Chaos?
Captain Chaos. Andrew Zimmern's got the build for it. He's got the bald head. Sorry, Andrew.
Wow.
That was mean.
You know who you remind me of? Dom DeLuise. Which is a compliment. Dom DeLuise is amazing, you guys. Burt Reynolds just passed. I hope that means people are watching some of Dom DeLuise's work.
I'm sure they are.
You know, skip Boogie Nights, skip Deliverance. I am recommending you go straight to Cannonball Run.
If you can't find Skullduggery.
There are going to be a couple more of these Halloween baking championships or Halloween wars.
I always watch those. I'm always disappointed in them, but I enjoy the disappointment. Is that wrong?
Are we planning on being disappointed with those again this year?
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right. So Halloween baking championship is going to start up on September 24th.
All right.
Halloween Wars, also Food Network, on September 30th.
All right. I like both of those shows, and it's embarrassing.
Halloween Wars is the one that has a cake artist, a pumpkin carver, and a sugar master.
Yeah, that one is dumb.
And then they also have Halloween Wars Even More Monstrous Scares, which I think...
Bigger pumpkins.
It's the same show, and it's on the same day, so I don't know what's going on there.
Oh, you know what? I bet it's like when they do the special editions of a show.
Man.
And what it is just a pop-up video version of the show you just watched.
Or like, here's a scene we didn't like for the first time.
Here's a terrible scene that we cut out. Here, enjoy.
Yeah. Let's see. There's going to be more Hell's Kitchen. I am not watching that.
Some kind of a Survivor thing.
There is somehow still America's Funniest Home Videos.
That is not a reality show.
It's just YouTube. Isn't it just YouTube? Below Deck.
These are just the things coming on. That's just things coming out this month.
Yeah, now we're into October. This is a very complete list. Reality Blurred does great work. Like, Unprotected Sets.
What's that one called? Trans Am. Is it about cars?
The Warmack brothers embark on a forward-looking journey, fueled by nostalgia, to restore and recreate an American staple, while forging a reputation in the competitive automotive industry.
What part of the competitive auto?
I think they are trying to relaunch the Trans Am.
Well, I like the Trans Am. My friend had one. I rode to school in it every day. It is super hard to get out of the back seat of.
Yeah.
Like the back seat of a Trans Am is worthless for most things.
So I think this is not a car restoration thing, but them actually trying to launch a new Trans Am brand.
Maybe.
Which I don't know that that's going to go over that well these days.
Wait. Scroll down to that. Nope. You're scrolling up the wrong way.
All right, what are we looking at? Man-at-Arms? Let's talk about Man-at-Arms.
Man-at-Arms, The Art of War. Danny Trejo is the host. And it will be people building arms and armor, inspired by the comic books, movies, video games, and TV shows. While a team of weapon experts... Oh, I totally want to watch that. That is totally a show I will watch.
The premise here is like, you in Assassin's Creed, you got those little wrist blades. Let's see how those really work.
Let's see if we can get some weaponsmiths to come in and really build those.
Yeah.
I am in for that, although it might... Yeah, it's like a Forged in Fire, except dumber.
There was a show like this, and it might even be this show, that was like, let's take Vikings and put them against Roman warriors. And there was some CGI and some recreation.
This one sounds a lot more fun. Yeah, I am definitely in for that. It's on the El Rey Network. It starts October 4th.
You can tell it's on the El Rey Network because it sounds fun.
And it's hosted by Danny Trejo.
There's going to be Dancing with the Stars Junior.
Are they child stars?
Yes, celebrity kids and professional junior ballroom dancers.
No, thank you.
Haunted Gingerbread Showdown.
What? Sandra Lee pits 9 of the best gingerbread artists in the country against each other. Oh, well, I'm watching that. You know I'll watch any haunted food things.
Yeah.
I have stomach problems, so haunted food shows make me feel justified in it. My stomach hurts. I must have eaten a ghost cookie.
Yep. It sounds like there was that time your stomach hurt because you ate a ghost pepper. That was bad thinking.
Look, when I saw the packaging, it was Halloween. It was a chip. It had a happy little ghost dancing around on the bag. I assumed it was Halloween packaging. I did not know that it was death. You can stop laughing about that anytime now.
So it sounds like our fall is largely going to be these haunted cooking shows.
Oh, well, maybe.
Gold Rush is coming back to Discovery. As you remember, I do not like Gold Rush. I find it boring.
Yeah.
Eventually, The Curse of Oak Island will be back. I love that show.
Do you think coming back?
Yeah. I do think it's coming. Have they found anything yet?
Yeah, I'm sure they found the whole treasure pit. It just hasn't made the news because they're hiding it.
No, what I'm saying is they haven't found anything yet. They got to keep digging.
Ooh. Eli Roth's History of Horror. That's not a reality show, but I'll totally watch it.
It brings together the masters of horror, icons, and stars who define the genre to explore its biggest themes and reveal the inspirations and struggles behind its past and present.
See, I will watch that if it's good.
It's on AMC.
But if it's just one of those crappy shows where they just edit together people saying, yeah, that movie scared me.
No, I think it's going to be interviews, and if it's Eli Roth doing the interviews, I think I'm interested in it. Like, that guy knows
his... Yeah, he knows his stuff. Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, that's a cooking show.
Yep. There's a show down here called My Windfall Dream Home, where it helps clients who receive surprise cash windfalls find their new dream home. So we're going to be taking lottery winners and selling them houses with a pool table and the swimming pool.
I'm just running down a show that I will personally be watching, but I do not think we should talk about.
Okay.
On the podcast, which will be Amanda to the Rescue. It's a lady who lives in Washington State and rescues dogs.
There is another show I wanted to mention. It's on Netflix already. It's called Million Pound Menu. Do you know anything about this show?
No, but I don't want to go to a restaurant where there's that many items on the menu.
No, it's kind of a cross... It's like Shark Tank. Two people with gimmicky restaurant ideas get to put up pop-up versions of their restaurant and try to get investors.
See, my concern about this is that the restaurant ideas are not going to be gimmicky enough for me. You're not going to get the barbecue pit and the pendulum. You're going to get, I've got this great idea for Asian-Mexican fusion.
Well, let me give you a couple of the examples from this article. a vegan junk food shop. That's some. There's also a couple boring ones. A sustainable seafood shack, and a fast casual Cuban operation. But a raw cookie dough shop.
I don't think that's legal. Cookie dough's got raw eggs and dairy in it. I do like me some cookie dough.
You can have raw dairy.
But I do not think...
It turns out there's already such a thing. It's called Dough. That's D-O with a line over it. It's in Greenwich Village.
Oh, and the headline here says, with treated eggs and flour, it's no longer a taboo. So they've irradiated their eggs and flour or something.
Yep.
So that it will turn you into a giant monster if you eat it.
Yeah.
But it's cookie dough. It's going to turn you into a giant.
Yeah.
If you eat it. Probably not a monster.
It looks... this real one is laid out kind of like an ice cream parlor, except you just got scoops of dough.
Yeah, I just don't care for that.
All right, so a million-pound menu. Just wanted to run it past you. Sounds like that's a no on that.
That is a big no. So much no.
All right.
Where's the rest of the list?
Well, we got to the bottom of it.
Really? I thought there was more.
Well, we... No, see,
Oh.
They only have three shows.
Oh, okay, that
gets
us through November. All right.
There's probably other shows that will debut in November, but that's all we know about so far.
All right, so which ones did we say we wanted to watch?
Pretty much just the ones with the word Halloween in the title.
Ah, that's my weakness.
And Man-at-Arms Art of War.
We're definitely watching Man-at-Arms Art of War. Scroll back up to the top.
Okay.
Okay.
So we got here...
Got it.
Blah, blah, blah. This is great podcasting. Going to read another couple. Bite Club. That's...
Too many of these are about food.
Yeah. Bite Club is this other one that Tyler Florence is hosting, where he goes to a city and then five of the city's chefs compete in a restaurant they've never worked in before.
Yeah, it's... I'm not really into the food reality shows. I'm not into the people.
And I don't think
reality shows.
I've seen a bunch of The Great Food Truck Race. I don't know that Tyler Florence has convinced me to watch him do something else. The house flipping shows, I don't care that much about. They just make me convinced that you should never buy a house, because for all you know, 2 weeks ago it was full of cockroaches.
Yeah.
There's just not...
I mean, I will watch World's Most Extraordinary Homes from time to time in the background, but I don't want to talk about it on TV. What am I going to say? This one had an even bigger pool.
Yep. I'm getting sick of seeing this particular house on every one of these shows. Total Divas? I like the idea of Total Divas, frankly, but it's not a competitive reality show.
That's just dreadful.
Yeah. The problem is, we are entering fall... And even with a million channels, fall is when people put on their good television.
Well, we've got a season 37 of Survivor. We could watch that.
I really do not want to watch season 37 of Survivor.
Okay, then.
Oh, man. Survivor has just gone so downhill for me.
Well, yeah, Naked and Afraid ruined Survivor for me because
they're
like, you could compete to win a salad today. And I'm like, they could compete to win a salad. I just saw a guy eating a rock.
Well, my hot take is that Jeff Probst ruined Survivor for me because he's all about the big manly men. And if you're not manly, you don't deserve to win. And now that he's the showrunner and the host and can change the rules on the fly, and the show is so much about twists that there's no... what I think of as gameplay.
Ugh, that movie, that Made in Mexico show looks just awful.
What? Follows Mexico City's wealthy socialites and their opulent lifestyles. That's just an off-brand Real Housewives.
Yeah, but it's a Real Housewives set in a country with a big poverty problem, so it's more...
You mean the U.S.?
Yeah, true. Well, I don't watch Real Housewives either, so I don't know what
they... It's just you.
It's just...
Yeah. I mean, the show... We've gone through this list... The shows we were interested in, the next one starts September 24th.
Jack Whitehall travels with my father. That looks fun, but again, it's just some British guys going around the world.
Jovial comic Jack Whitehall invites his stuffy father, Michael, to travel with him. It'd probably help if I knew who jovial comic Jack Whitehall was.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
This is... Fall is not a good time for the particular brand of competitive reality show that the villain edit is based on.
It's true. And again, a lot of the shows I watch, they don't make good conversations.
Yeah,
I do watch Dr. K's Exotic Animal ER.
Or Dr. Oakley Yukon Vet.
No, I don't really like Dr. Oakley.
You can tell the difference between the different exotic vets.
Yeah, Dr. Oakley works on moose and caribou.
Oh, and you feel that moose and caribou don't deserve medical care.
No, Dr. K's Animal Clinic is in Florida, so you see a lot more lizards and snakes and pets that, quite frankly, people should not have. You should not have a pet lemur.
What?
It's not good for you, it's not good for the lemur.
So
last week, I watched somebody who had a tiny little monkey. You know, those little ones that are the size of a guinea pig?
A Japanese snowball monkey?
No, there's the little tiny monkeys.
Okay.
And it died because it was a baby monkey with no immune system, and she took it everywhere and showed it to all of her friends. Like, you can't be handling a baby with no immune system out in the wilds of Florida. So, a lot of it is me scolding people for having unrealistic pets.
Yeah. One thing I like in looking through this list is some of these shows are clearly the result of somebody who's just really good at pitching vacations.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Fish My City with Mike Iaconelli, I'm guessing. Professional bass fisherman Mike Iaconelli is visiting hot spots around the world to meet the locals and hear the urban legends that reveal the untold story of a city's unique connection to fish.
Wait till he gets to Innsmouth. He's going to have a great time.
That's clearly a dude who just wanted to travel the world and get to go fishing,
yeah.
And get Nat Geo Wild to pay for it, and he got there. Good job.
Well, that's what the guy that does River Monsters did.
Yeah.
He's very upfront about that and talking about how glad he is he found a job he could do fishing.
Hey, I approve of it.
I'm in favor of it. It's much better than being on dirty jobs where you have to clean a sewer every week.
Well, I'd rather see that, somebody getting to do something they're passionate about, even if the televisual justification is feeble. I'd watch that over the latest Kitchen Nightmares version that Gordon Ramsay is doing. The latest gimmick is that he only has 24 hours. They put up a clock.
Oh, so he gets... only gets 3 hours to scold and yell at the people who own the restaurant.
Right, he walks in disguise, he tastes the food, then has a predictable and scripted tantrum.
Then he throws up.
And then throwing up is after the clock starts. Tastes the food, then says, "This is terrible! Clock!" Then the shouting, and 24 hours later, the whole restaurant has been remodeled, and everybody has been yelled at and cried. And
they have a new menu that Gordon has approved. They are never going to be able to cook that stuff once he steps out. I mean, he makes the recipes look easy, but they're not going to buy fresh ingredients.
And then
they're a hot dog.
They do one
on
of those
beach
team building exercises where he takes them out paintballing or something, and when they come back,
I don't think he's going to have time to do that on the 24-hour show.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not watching that show at
all.
Also,
I don't believe the 24-hour show.
I don't. Yeah.
Because they're always completely remodeling the restaurant.
Oh, here's a couple of shows. Child Support, and this one was done by a random word generator. Ricky Gervais and Fred Savage host the game show on which contestants get help from kids.
No.
It's like Mad Libs. There's a show called Dancing Queen. You remember Alyssa Edwards?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Alyssa Edwards is sometimes called Justin Johnson, and has a dance school.
Oh, I've heard that's good. I've heard friends talking about that, and they say it looks really good. I will definitely check it out on the Netflix. I may not.
I hope that it has random drop-in guests. We just watched that...
Hurricane Bianca?
We watched Hurricane Bianca, a Bianca Del Rio movie on Netflix. And that show really picked up when the occasional guest stars would show up, do their shtick, and then leave.
You know how we've been talking about how I don't like the trope of people's lives improving over the course of a reality show? Shangela is an example where that actually happened.
Well,
I don't know if her life improved spiritually. That's bullshit. I mean, now we have to do a... Anyway, I was trying not to swear on the show, and I failed.
That's okay, now we're explicit.
Shangela,
you want to go back and give the expanded version of...
Shangela went from her series of Drag Race, where she was not very talented, And when she appeared on the All-Star season, her personal and professional growth was incredibly obvious.
Yeah.
And that...
And now...
And a lot of the time on the shows where they just tell you, oh, they've experienced personal and professional growth, and they've been on a show for 6 weeks.
But Shangela's personal and professional growth happened between seasons.
Yeah.
It wasn't like between episode...
It wasn't the result of Drag Race. It was the result of her working her butt off.
It wasn't between episode 2 and episode 6. You've really improved as a person and come to understand who you are and how you relate to your mother or whatever they try to sell on these shows like this. Like, Shangela went home and said, here's what I have to do to be successful, and then just worked really hard year after year.
I think on Dragula, you could actually see the characters... On season 2 of Dragula, you could actually see some personal growth in the characters. Because there were a couple of people who came into the show hating each other, and at the end of the show are now okay with each other.
Yeah.
Because the host said... Cut the drama out.
Yeah.
Which is not what you normally expect on a show full of drag
That's
queens.
That's true. Oh, speaking of a show of drag queens, I've kind of stopped watching Camp Wanakiki. That show...
Yeah, it wasn't that great. But they did try, and they made a good effort.
Ironically, that show drags.
It kind of does.
All right. So, that's where we are. We're going to find some shows to watch. We're not sure what they're going to be. I might try to find some old shows.
We'll definitely be talking about Halloween cakes.
Yes, we will. But until then, totes this Lex.
Totes this Lex.
And now let's talk about plugs, because I have some stuff to plug, and so does Rias. Jason Snell and I have been on the Incomparables TV podcast. We have been rewatching season 1 of Game of Thrones, along with Brian Hamilton. And we're partway through season 1 right now, so you can go listen to what we have to say looking back on that season so long ago. Also on the Total Party Kill Incomparable podcast. Pretty soon, we're going to be starting Shocktober, in which a group of dummies go to a mysterious place called Savoth Manor, and I am one of those dummies. Also, I ran a one-shot D&D game where I was the dungeon master, and that will be appearing on the Total Party Kill feed at some point this year. I think that's all for me. Oh, and also at some point, an episode where I talked with a bunch of people about Equilibrium, a movie in which Christian Bale proves that the best way to not get shot is to stand perfectly still in the middle of the room for some reason. It's weird. Gunkata! Rias, what do you got to plug?
Well, I have two podcasts besides this one. I am on a podcast called The Night Library, which is about cheesy horror novels of the 80s and 90s. I'm also on a podcast called Don't Read the Latin, where we choose a different subject about horror, based around horror films, and we talk about that for a while. The most recent episode was lesser-known vampire films, and we are still debating whether or not Near Dark counts.
Now, I'm baffled by this, because I thought Near Dark... See, I love Near Dark. I saw it in the theater like 3 times.
Me too.
And that
I can't imagine no one has not seen anyone. I cannot imagine that anyone has not seen it. And yet...
If you haven't seen Near Dark, get on that. I believe, as of this recording, I am on the most recent Night Library.
Right, you are on the Night Library where we talked about...
The book. Abracadabra. Which is a nonsense book about stage magicians who took the left-hand path, which I didn't know there was one of those for stage magicians. And what's the next episode going to be about?
The next episode that we just recorded, it hasn't gone online yet, is about the V.C. Andrews book, My Sweet Adrena, which is just crazy, over-the-top bonkers.
Oh, that sounds great.
In a deeply enjoyable and troubling way.
So watch out for that on the podcast, The Night Library. Raya's talking about My Sweet Adrena.
Yay.
Okay, bye. Still totes dyslex.
Still dyslex.